Now we switch to focus on the European Union and all the continent of Europe, because there is a lot of activity that has taken place in 2006, projected for 2007, that we need to understand why these things are happening, especially in light of Bible prophecy. Most Bible scholars would say that the European Union is at least the infrastructure for the prophecy called for in Daniel chapters 2 and 7, the revived Roman Empire. The man who is very knowledgeable of those prophetic passages of Scripture, in fact, has written a book on the subject. When it is published, we will tell you about it. He's lived for a number of years in Europe and watched up close what is taking place, and we call upon him to give us insight that we need to know. Of course, I'm speaking of Rob Congdon. Rob, we're into the new year. There are now two new member states in the European Union, that making the number 27 member states. German Chancellor Merkel is heading up the 6 months presidency of the European Union, and it's the 50th anniversary of the EU, dating back to the signing of the Treaty of Rome in 1957. With all that we have in front of us, we need to have some understanding of what is going on, and your insight is welcome to us. Good to have you along. I hope that you had a good New Year's Day, and Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year to you and all the listeners. We have had a good year, and a lot is coming, we think, this year with the European Union.
Praise the Lord. Someone has suggested that the smaller member states of the European Union don't need as much say-so or leadership personnel in the EU. Is that a move towards this regions concept that we discussed last week, Rob?
Absolutely. If you look in Daniel, you'll find that at one point in history, much further down the line in terms of the tribulation, that of the 10 regions that the final global government would have, three of them become subordinate. And so you would expect to see a leadership group of regions or nations and some lesser ones. And this last week, one of the deputies under Chancellor Merkel has proposed the setup that they would take the 27 nations, and some of them would become lesser in the European Commission. Now, the Commission is the ruling body of the European Union. The Parliament is more of a facade to look like it's democratic. But the 27 commissioners, they run the European Union. What is happening is the European Union has expanded. It's gotten difficult to get 27 people to truly agree and to work together. It becomes less efficient. The proposal is to reduce the number of commissioners, give the president more power of the European Commission, and have deputy commissioners for the others. This suggests very similar to what we would foresee down the line in the book of Daniel.
This is supposed to be a news program as well as a prophecy-centered program, but I'm having difficulty in this news portion of keeping myself still and not shouting. Man, that is a move towards what the Bible said will indeed take place. Well, the two new member states, Bulgaria and Romania, part of the former Eastern Bloc nations. And thinking about that, there are quite a few of these former Eastern Bloc nations now member states in the European Union. Are they going to be able to hold their own in the EU?
In all probability, for instance, Poland, which entered recently, is very good because of the economics. Some of the smaller Balkan states are going to have to accept a minor role. They gain the advantages of the European Union, but certainly the European Union will tend to steamroll. Just this week, both Merkel of Germany and Chirac of France have started negotiating again for that leadership role in the EU, and neither of them place a high priority on these Balkan states as far as having a voice in what's happening in the EU. They want them there for economics and certain other advantages, but they really don't want them to become too powerful.
Speaking of Angela Merkel, she's the Chancellor of Germany, by the way, and she now is the head of, or at least the figurehead of the presidency for the European Union for the next 6 months. She has quite an ambitious agenda. Can she accomplish what she wants to?
I think she has several things going for her. For one, is she is well-liked by many of the people in Europe and respected by countries outside of the European Union. One of the other aspects is that Germany is really being able to show a strong economic background, and she doesn't have to run for election in a few years. As Chirac will be leaving and a new president coming in from France, many of the other leaders are coming up for election. They have to play the election game. She doesn't, so she can speak out, take the leadership, and guide it. And she's also has the leadership this year of the eight, the economic eight. And so she's in quite a powerful position this year.
Pope Paul, Rob, had a great influence on the European Union during his papacy. Will the new Pope, Pope Benedict, make an impact on the European Union as well? And is it needed to gel this United States of Europe?
Anyone who has looked carefully into the history of the European Union finds that the linkage between the European Union and the Vatican and the popes has been strong from its very beginning. Therefore, we not only would expect that to continue, but there are many aspects of Pope Benedict that would suggest that he wants to be involved and has a clear understanding of where the EU is going. Also, he has a good friendship with Chancellor Merkel, though she is not Roman Catholic, but she does have some family member background of Catholicism. So there is a close relationship there, and it would appear that it will just be an ongoing influence within the European Union. Most of the major countries of the European Union, their leadership, are Roman Catholic.
Very, very interesting. Rob, I'm sorry for jumping all over, but there's a short period of time I can talk with you and lots to talk about. Let me go to another subject. What about the statement from the Israeli cabinet member Avigdor Lieberman saying that Israel should seek to become a member state of the European Union? Why, and is it possible that could happen?
Well, I think it is highly possible, both from a logistic standpoint and from a biblical standpoint. Israel is a major exporter to Europe and an importer from Europe. When we lived in Britain, most of our fruits came from Israel. There are close ties economically between Israel and Europe. Additionally, Israel is part of the neighborhood policy. This is a group of countries that are considered the neighbors of the EU, and it is really the stepping stone toward membership. So they're already well on the path toward membership, and it's just a matter of getting some of the other nations in the neighborhood all aligned, and it all will begin with Turkey.
That is also a very interesting concept, the possibility of an Islamic state in the member states of the European Union, but thus then advancing around the Mediterranean coast and including Israel. There is a leg up, if that is the case, and it does happen, for the European Union, who has, they've really had a desire to play a more intricate role in the Middle East peace process. This would give them that opportunity, would it not?
It certainly would, and of course, once again, tying to this week, Chancellor Merkel was with President Bush, and they discussed bringing the European Union, the U.S., the U.N., and Russia to working on the Middle East. That old quartet coming together, and so we have the major powers, but the EU is the major link in it.
Well, you mentioned President Chirac of France. He also this week called for an international conference that would deal with the situation in the Middle East. One final question for you, Rob. Anything significant about the beginning of the year-long celebration, the 50th anniversary of the EU?
Well, I think what it is very interesting, the fact that when the EU began, it was first emphasized it was the European Economic Community, and that was 50 years ago. They dropped the name economic, became community, and then became union. This year's push, as spoken by Chancellor Merkel, was to extend that union. And she also made a statement just this week of talking about a transatlantic economic partnership with the United States. This is the beginning of pulling the United States ultimately into the community and then into the union. So some big steps. I think they are very tradition-oriented in the European Union, and the 50th anniversary would be the perfect time to create another economic union this time across the ocean with the U.S.
Very interesting developments, and the reason we can understand these things that are happening as it relates to the European Union is because of our broadcast partner, Rob Congdon. By the way, he's available for speaking. If you're interested in contacting him, get a hold of us here at Prophecy Today, and we will link you to Rob Congdon, so you might consider having him to come for one of your special conferences. He has a book coming out. We'll be telling you about that when publishing does take place. Rob, thank you so much. You always help us to understand current events, and of course, we always together bring in the significance of Bible prophecy. Appreciate it. Looking forward to another conversation soon.
Lord bless, and have a good day.